The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Uttered by Franklin Delano Roosevelt more than 80 years ago, and yet it seems more relevant today than ever. Ebola, Islamic terrorists, the historic drought, all topics of frightening headlines and debates. Scholars have debated the use of fear appeals since antiquity. Plato lamented appeals to emotions, and fear in particular, as corrupt influences on logic and reason. Contemporary scholars have examined the ways in which fear appeals have been utilized to promote racism and xenophobia, to crack down on civil liberties, and to stifle healthy democratic dissent. Others, like Aristotle, argued that our emotional responses are often driven by reasoned persuasion and understanding. Sometimes there are good reasons to be afraid, or angry, or joyful. Contemporary advocates for HIV/AIDS prevention, anti-smoking campaigns, and environmental activists see fear appeals as effective in promoting awareness and in gaining audience compliance toward a worthy goal. Fear can be a rational and strategic response to danger. But because fear creates discomfort, audiences naturally tend to avoid or resist such appeals. That's why, for a fear appeal to work, the persuader must also convince the audience that they are capable of doing something meaningful in response to the danger posed. But what happens to us as a society when we live in a culture that seems driven by the language of fear? Our tendency is to overreact and over-exaggerate. We may be drawn to impulsive and unwise behaviors. Arizona State University professor David Althea says much of the fear we experience is unwarranted and is actually the result of calculated decisions by the news media and entertainment industry to catch our attention. And in many cases, they encourage people to fear things over which they have very little control. For example, according to the Harvard School of Public Health, nearly 40% of Americans believe there will be a large outbreak of the Ebola virus in the U.S., and more than 25% worry that immediate family members will come down with the disease. These fears exist in spite of reassurances from the CDC and most every other infectious disease expert that an Ebola outbreak in the U.S. is highly unlikely. Rather, it is the constant and sensationalized media coverage of Ebola that makes the threat seem imminent and that promotes an unhealthy response to the situation. At the slightest suggestion of risk, often unsubstantiated, children are pulled out of schools, speakers are banned from university campuses, politicians call for travel bans and mandatory quarantines, and sick employees are told to obtain medical confirmation that they are not infected before they can return to work. Overreaction to a fear can create more havoc than the original threat. Reasonable concern is healthy, and not all fear appeals are problematic, but decisions and actions driven primarily by a pervasive rhetoric of fear are scary indeed. For The Moral Is, I'm Diane Blair.